Good evening, everyone. Come on. Good evening. There we go. Welcome to Coaster Mania 2009. A big round of applause if you guys just enjoyed that good dinner. Make sure this weekend when you see those food service employees, give them a big thanks because they went above and beyond for tonight's dinner. Tomorrow's lunch promises to be even better. So again, welcome to Coaster Mania 2009. This is our first year for a two-day event. We thought we'd do something a little different this year because we've got a very special anniversary we're celebrating this year. It was 20 years ago this summer that we debuted a brand new coaster here at Cedar Point that forever changed the landscape in the amusement industry, the Magnum XL 200. It's 20 years old, has given nearly 40 million rides. When it debuted, it was the tallest and fastest in the world. Those records have been since shattered, but it is still one of the best rides still on the planet. Tonight we're going to honor that legacy and that history of the Magnum. We've got some special guest speakers for you tonight. We've got a short tribute video that we're going to show. So please sit back, relax, enjoy the festivities. And again, thank you very much for coming to Coaster Mania tonight. The first person I want to introduce is our Vice President and General Manager, John Hildebrandt.
Thanks, Brian. Good evening. Welcome to Cedar Point and the 20th Coaster Mania and the 20th anniversary of Magnum. Number one, right. I need a Magnum expert. I'm a volunteer. Brian, get me a Magnum expert here. I have some test questions, so make sure they know what they're doing. I'm Brian, step it up. Make a decision. And these are not going to be, well, I shouldn't say, well, we'll wait. I need to volunteer first. All right. Kathy. Kathy, I'm sure you know all the standard information about the Magnum XL 200, right? No. We're going to ask you the kind of questions that are sort of different.
Sort of different, okay.
All right. And there'll be we'll come up with a nice prize if you answer them all right. All right. Okay. Listen carefully. One of the following four celebrities, has never, to our knowledge, ridden a Magnum. Who is it? I'm going to give you A, B, C, or D. A, LeBron James. 2, Lenny Kravitz. 3, Arsenio Hall. Or 4, or D, Jimmy Buffett. I'll repeat the question. One of these four celebrities has never, to our knowledge, ridden a Magnum. Who is it?
Jimmy Buffett?
Right. So you're ready for number 2, Kathy?
Yeah.
All right, okay. What Cleveland Indians baseball star of the 1990s received the phone call telling him he was named to play in his first Major League All-Star game while waiting in the Magnum queue line? All right, these are your choices. You like baseball?
No, I like coasters.
All right, you'll probably get a few suggestions from the audience here. A, Manny Ramirez. B, Jim Thome. C, Albert Bell. or D, David Justice?
I'll go with B.
Jim Tomey, right again.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, now we're getting tougher, I think.
Oh, great, we haven't hit tough yet?
We're just getting warmed up,
okay.
On the day the Magnum opened to the public in May 1989, did it A, snow, B, rain, C, rain and snow, D, was it sunny, or E, did it hail?
All of the above? I wasn't here on opening day. I'd say rain.
Snow.
Snow. Oh, my God.
There was snow on the ground very early in the morning. Ooh. Tough audience here. All right. All right, here's another easy one. Magnum used to have an all-girl crew. What year did Magnum become a mixed crew? Was it A, 1995? B, 2000, C, 1999, or D, 1992?
1999.
C.
I'll go with C.
1999, very good. All right. Only two left. These are the really easy ones. Yeah. All right, among coaster enthusiasts, what is the common nickname for Magnum?
Maggie.
All right.
And I'm not even going to give you the other choices. See, that was.
That was an easy one.
That wasn't right. I promised you an easy one. The name Magnum XL200, what does the XL200 stand for? Is it A, the serial number of the ride? Think about that. B, extra large, 200 feet. C, a reference to the specialty steel used in its construction. Or D, none of the above.
I want to say D.
Extra large, 200 feet.
That's really what I was.
You're still going to get a prize. You did great. Thanks, Dad. Brian will take care of your prize. This is my 36th season at Cedar Point. So I'm one of those folks who was here when the Magnum opened to the public. At the time, I was director of marketing at Cedar Point, and it was my job to sell the Magnum. I know, tough job. Drove me nuts all winter. How am I going to do this? How are we going to do this? This is so difficult. Where do you start? It's only the highest, steepest, and fastest roller coaster in the world. No, it was an easy sell. When you have a product like that, it was an easy sell. It was fun and exciting. We all knew that we were involved in something that was really very, 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 very special. And over 20 years, Magnum has thrilled many millions of riders, as Brian mentioned. It's won lots of honors, and our guests love this ride. And I know you guys love it too, right? We have a great crew on Magnum this year. Some of you have ridden Magnum already today, you know that, and they're anxious to show you guys a great time this weekend. There are a great many people who contributed to the creation of the Magnum and its continuing reign as one of the top roller coasters in the world. But there's one person here at Cedar Point who's truly the father of the ride, and that's Dick Kinzel, our chairman of the board, chief executive officer, and president. Magnum really was Dick's dream. He's the one who sold the idea of a roller coaster that would break the 200-foot barrier. The Magnum has always been his baby, and I'd like Dick to say a few words, if you would.
Thanks, John. Well, we're celebrating the birthday of the Magnum. I would like Lee Jewett, come on up here. Sit next to John here. Lee Jewett, at the time, Lee retired a couple of years ago, but he's the one that worked with Ron Toomer, and they designed it. And actually, these two guys made me look awful good. Come on up, Lee. But I'd just like to echo John. We really are pleased to have you here today, and welcome to Cedar Point. If someone would have told me 20 years ago that I'd be standing up here still as CEO of Cedar Fair, and celebrating the 20th anniversary of what I consider to be the Certainly one of the greatest roller coasters. It certainly changed the landscaping of roller coasters to our industry. I would have been shocked. Just a little bit of history or genesis of the ride. I got transferred back here from Valley Fair in 1987, and it was a pretty easy decision to make. We hadn't really put a major coaster in Cedar Point since 1978 when we put in another Ron Toomer ride, the Gemini. And Ron also designed that. But in all honesty, I really go back to 1976 with Ron and Lee, and worked with both of those individuals on the Corkscrew. And if for those of you that are old enough to remember, the Corkscrew was actually the first looping coaster with a helix in it. And that was the first year that Cedar Point did over 3 million in attendance. And then I've worked with Ron on several coasters since then. But of course, the one that I remember most is the Magnum XL200. But very quickly, the history of it was that when we did our first five-year plan at Cedar Point in 1987, it was pretty obvious the park needed something big. We had put the Iron Dragon in the prior year, but you know, in all honesty, that really wasn't a thrill ride like the Corkscrew or the Gemini. And so it was, you know, the market was screaming for something exciting. And what we did is the first coaster that Lee and Ron drew up with, I think I said what I'd like is the highest coaster in the world. But let's take a concept from wood and let's just have a down and back coaster and make it steel. And I called Ron and asked him if that would work and worked with Lee on it. And the highest coaster in the world, I think at that time was about 180 feet, 185 feet or something like that. So they came back, because cost was very important to us, they came back at about 187 feet, which would have been the highest roller coaster in the world at the time. I took that to the board, and one of our board members had the foresight to say, well, you know, The number two is really a great marketing tool. How much would it cost to go 200 feet? So I left they approved it. They approved the ride. And I went back and called Ron and said, Ron, what's it going to cost if we go another 15 or 20 feet to get this ride so we can say 200 feet? And he gave me the price, and that's how the concept of the first 200-foot coaster was built. But if you go out there today and you look at the engineering, the construction, and the architecture, that it really is something that you can take that much steel and run a train up there and make it go around and do the speeds and the descent that coaster does and supply the thrills and everything that everyone has been excited with. So that coaster really is very, very special to me. And that's really the history of it. And of course, that was so successful for us that, of course, then the other coasters followed. And as you know, Cedar Point's the only coaster. And it was the first park to have the first 200-foot coaster, the first 300-foot coaster, and the first 400-foot coaster. And we're only the park in the world that has all three of those now. So we're very, very proud of that. But you know what? The reason we do it is we love to hear comments from you people that you really enjoy them. And certainly, we're a public corporation. We're here to make money, and the reason we put rides in. But you know what? If we didn't get appreciation from you people as to how much you enjoy the rides and enjoy coming to Cedar Point or the Cedar Fair parks, the fun would not be there. It would be a business. And I've told people for the last 37 years, in fact, this Saturday, 37 years ago this Saturday, I walked in Cedar Point and started making cotton candy at Cedar Point. And if someone would have told me, you know, 37 years ago that I'd never work again, I wouldn't have believed it. But that is the truth. I honestly tell everyone that I've ever seen that I haven't really worked in 37 years. But it's not just because of the business aspect. It's the satisfaction that I get. You know, when people from the different Acers and clubs come up and tell me how much they enjoy the coasters, I'm just so thrilled. And, you know, believe me, I'm smart enough. I'm smart enough to know that I'm the face of Cedar Fair, and I represent all of our employees, and I represent the work that Ron and Lee did, but I'm smart enough to know I didn't do it. So I'm very, very humble in that, but I certainly appreciate everything you say, and believe me, when someone tells me how much they enjoy the rides and that, I make sure it gets back to the people that really made it happen. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Brian, and he'll introduce the man of the day. Thank you very much, and enjoy your day.
Thank you, Mr. Kinzel. Put together a short tribute video of the Magnum. Again, it's 20 years old, and we were very fortunate. I dug through piles upon piles of tapes. I was able to come up with some old footage some old media coverage that we got of the Magnum the very first year it opened. We got a short 6-7 minute video, and all of this footage is from 1989. So as soon as it hooks up here, I think you guys will enjoy this. The hairstyles, the clothes, it's classic, it really is. And you might even see some familiar faces in there.
Who enjoy going from, I'll say 0 to 60 miles an hour within 3 seconds, or going from weightlessness to 3 times your body weight while you scream your lungs out? Well, this next ride's for you.
Like a lot of people, I've loved amusement parks and carnivals since I was a child. And the biggest, scariest, ultimate thing that looms above all else is a roller coaster. To me, they're just spectacular. They give you an opportunity to just release yourself and let the adrenaline pump and feel the exhilaration of the wind through your hair. They're just magnificent adventures.
Finding this evening Dateline, well, anywhere USA, where being upside down or inside out is what it's all about. ABC's Chris Bury is one brave fellow. Leave your stomach at the station. America is riding a roller coaster renaissance. This summer, 13 new coasters are competing to deliver the deepest dive, the highest hill, the wildest journey.
Everyone wants the bragging rights, at least for 1 year, of having the biggest and the fastest.
Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, the new Magnum XL 200 debuted in May as the coaster with the most height. Fastest, steepest, and highest of all.
You climb very slowly up 205 feet to the peak of the tallest roller coaster ever built. Then you prepare to drop as if you were falling from the top of a 20-story building.
It's a magnificent, exciting moment. The wind racing through your hair, going 70 miles an hour over dips and hills.
is what motivates members of the American coaster enthusiasts known as ACE. Every summer they travel coaster to coaster in a quest for the best.
I expect to get the ultimate thrill.
America's coaster competition began at Coney Island, where the famous Cyclone is 67 years old and still screaming. Where it will lead, no one knows.
I'd like to see them 500 foot tall. I'd like to see them send us upside down 20 times. I'd like to see them send us to the moon and back.
Until then, a more down-to-earth search continues for the most daring drop, the trickiest turn, the ultimate ride. Chris Bury, ABC News, Sandusky, Ohio.
How kind is to Chris Bury? I'll show you what he looked like after that first jump. There were over 1,500 across the country back then. These days, the world record holders dwarf those early Scream machines. This is the new Magnum XL 200 at Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio. The $8 million ride was designed to be the tallest and fastest in the world.
The thing that you're going to see on any of these giant coasters... straight down, it's going to be a...
together, kind of showcasing Magnum's first season. Now, there are very few people in the amusement industry that I know I don't have to introduce to any of you. And we're very fortunate to have a couple of those people here tonight, one of them being Ron Toomer. So please give me your best Coaster Mania welcome for Ron Toomer.
Whenever something like that happens, I have to look around and see if somebody important came in. But it's really a pleasure to be here. I can't believe most of you were here 10 years ago because it's about three times as many people, I think. How many were here 10 years ago for the 10th? Goes by pretty fast in the 20. The first time I came to Cedar Point was 40 years ago. And we opened a thing called the Cedar Creek Mine Ride. And that's having its 40th anniversary this year. A couple of years ago, I had the pleasure to meet with a group of Acers in Six Flags Over Texas for the 40th anniversary of the first runaway mine train and the first coaster I ever built in my life. And it seems like from then on, it's been one twisty thing after another, and Dick Kinzel's sort of giving you some of the history of what goes on, and everybody says, well, why don't you build this, why don't you build that? Well, it always takes two to tango, you might say. Somebody has to want what you're going to build. So most of my career in building roller coasters was based on customer calling up and saying, Ron, can you do this? And I always said yes, no matter what. And the same thing happened the day they called and wanted to know if we could go to 200 feet. It didn't take me 3 seconds to say, of course we can. And that led us into more and more things. Getting the Magnum done, must have been a few months later that Jeffrey Thompson from Blackpool, England was out here, and he called and says, "Ron, can you build me one like that in England?" Of course, I said, "Yes." And we did that. I imagine some of you have been over there and seen that one too, a few of you. That's another great big one, but it's sort of different because it swallows the park. I mean, it really is so much bigger than anything else there. All those old ones that were the greatest things in the world, 100 feet high or 20 feet high, and all you can see is this giant coaster from out in the ocean. It's really a fantastic picture. But my history with Cedar Point, of course, as you all know, has been kind of an ongoing thing over the years, and we've done a lot of different coasters and rides. The Mine Train was the third coaster that I ever did. The Corkscrew was the first that got away from the original Knott's Berry Farm standard corkscrew. We went on from there for the Gemini, was the one and only racing coaster that I ever did, and that turned out to be quite a ride too, I think. And having never ridden on many of the things, everybody wonders, well, how can you do it? Well, you feel it. I could sit down at the drawing board and I could actually feel what's going on around the corners. I've ridden enough of them to know what it feels like. And that may sound strange, but a lot of work went into trying to make them smoother. And some of the first Mine Trains were pretty jerky things. But after a while, we learned what to do and how to do it. And I think by the time we got to the Magnum here, it turned out a pretty nice ride. And I know you guys like the incoming to the station part of it the best, I think. People tell me that, someone else told me that the second seat in the back car is the ejection seat when you go over the top of the lift.
Yeah.
Is that true? Okay. But it's been a great story. It's been an amazing contribution that we've gotten from the people at Cedar Point here through the years, and we've worked together. Lee and I spent I don't know how many nights eating, and he picks me up at the airport in the middle of a snowstorm one time, and we've been through all kinds of things like that, and disasters when the tornado struck. I think that was just about the time we were going to start on the Gemini, wasn't it? Yeah. And they were just getting ready to cut down all the trees out in that plot, and the tornado took care of most of that. I got here two or three days later, and one of the trees had fallen on the Mine Train, so we had to build some new track there, and all these trees had been twisted off about so far off the ground and was laying all over the place. But it's when I come back now, it's hard to imagine what it used to look like. It wasn't anything out that way at that time, and it's been a great time for me. I'm retired now. Do I miss it? Of course. Of course I miss it. I spent many, many days traveling and touring all over the world going after coasters. And my dear wife here, 1 year I was away 72 days, I think, and that was getting to be a little bit too much. And Carol, the daughter down here, worked on the corkscrew one summer while she was in college, and that was a lot of fun for her, and now we've got her daughter with us this time. That's Lydia down there. I don't have a lot to say. I really appreciate a lot of questions. I like that as more than just sitting here and talking about everything. You know, I can't say too much more about how it all works or why it works or anything else. And if some of you have some questions that you can ask, I'll try my best to answer them.
Anyone? Questions?
Yeah, I usually get dozens of them out of a group.
Thank you for everything you've done as far as housing, act,
Well, for what I feel about today, I kind of think roller coasters are traditional things where you go up a hill and go down and around some places and not. Everything's a roller coaster of one kind or another, because they all roll and they all coast somewhere along the line. But, you know, it's been a real learning pleasure for me during the time we spent. You know, we started out with the first mine train. I was working with Carl Bacon at the time, for him, and neither one of us had built a roller coaster. I don't know if he ever rode on them, but I never did. And we just worked on it the hard way. There was no computer. We had slide rules and math tables. Everything was done longhand and worked out. I have pages and pages of calculations that we did on most of those early ones. Now I think they just let the computer look at a plot and it does everything, so nobody has to work anymore. And I don't know if I answered your question or not.
Though. Pepsi Max at Blackpool, you said you worked with Jeffrey Thompson over there, and the Magnum 200, the way the ocean for Pepsi Max and being on the shores of Lake Erie, I think those are two of the most scenic roller coasters I've ever been on.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's right. And, part of the beauty of the coaster isn't a purposeful thing. It's just the way it comes out. I mean, they're beautiful flowing lines on the things. And that's kind of what happens to you. Excuse me. Anybody else with anything at all? I can hardly hear some of these guys. Yes. Oh, here.
Yeah, speak loudly.
I'm sorry. I wanted to mention that when I first rode the Magnum, it was in 1990, and we came to Cedar Point where we heard about another coaster that was being built, and all of a sudden we saw the Magnum, we couldn't believe our eyes. But the most important thing I wanted to tell you a story is that when I first rode the Magnum, I thought for sure after the second hill, coming out of the tunnel, that car left the track. I thought for sure, and I had to go walk under it on the path between the hotels and look, and for sure, it feels like for about 8 seconds, that car's not on the track. It's fabulous. Have you ever ridden it? You really never ridden it?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Are you riding? You ride them?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it came off the track. It's just,
I got to see it for myself.
Well, that's just the air time you're feeling,
yeah,
I think, and all that kind of thing. And that's, I think that's, like I said earlier, most of the ace people like the ones coming back into the station along that humpy place back there. The air time seems to be what counts. Gentleman over here.
You say that you hardly ever ride any of the coasters that you build. Why?
For one thing, it'd abolish a fine reputation that I have. And besides, you know, I've often said, and it may sound crazy, but I just don't care for them that much to ride. And I think, you know, when I was a little kid, I grew up in Southern California, and we used to go down to the Long Beach Pike and Santa Monica Pier and those places along there. And at that time, the old Cyclone Racer was there, and I can remember standing out in front of that thing, and the siren would blow and the trains would go. And nobody in my family rode roller coasters, parents, and I think that's probably part of the reason I never did start riding them. And everybody knows about my motion sickness problem too, so I don't get into that for that. This lady over here.
We got one more question.
I'm gonna say this, that Magna rode him several times. It's got
got some good airtime. I like the layout. I like the tone of this. And I think it's a wonderful coaster to ride. And also, isn't that true? I read somewhere. Is that true that V. Coma had bought out the aerodynamic?
Did V. Coma bought out Aero?
No.
The question was, did V. Coma buy out aerodynamic?
No, that's the false rumor of some kind. V. Coma was a company that we worked with and licensed some of our things to them to build over in Europe years ago. And after I left Aero, the company failed about 2 years later or three, and it was bought by S&S Sports in Logan, Utah, Stan Checkitz and his company, and they've made these things that shoot you up in the air and down. And I think they've done a couple of coasters since then with some of their Aero employees, but no, V. Coma's still there doing things over in Europe, but doesn't have anything to do with Aero. We had a license agreement with them once where they built some of our rides. There's one there.
All right. Last question. Nobody put hands back up. Really, last question.
I saw a TV show, and they said that the Magnum was fabricated on site, which is kind of hard to believe. Was it really fabricated on site, or was it prefabricated and shipped in, or how was it built?
Every roller coaster that we ever did is built in the shop, and it's kind of interesting how they do it. They take like the layout of the plan and draw that on the concrete floor, and then mark all the tie locations and set up some stands, and they'll start bending, run pipe through the pipe bender and set it up there, and then they have some ways to incrementally bend it and fit it to the lines on the floor. And they start putting ties on, but no, none of these were ever built on site. Carl Bacon told me the story when they did the Matterhorn. That was before my time. Some salesman was in the office one day, and they had a big machine that bends. It's called a bulldozer pipe bender, and it kind of pushes and then it moves the pipe up a bit and then pushes it again and bends whatever arc you want. And they said, well, we just do it with a bulldozer. And this guy says, you mean you just put them on the ground and run over it with a bulldozer? Okay, I guess that's about all we're going to do tonight, Dan. I appreciate all of you coming and keep on posting.
Mr. Kinzel said, we also have a special guest with us this evening who was very instrumental in the design, the creation of Magnum, and that's Lee Jewett. So big round of applause, please, for Lee.
Thank you, Brian. And Ryan, unlike you, I ride the coasters.
Yeah. Somebody has to.
Yeah, right. You know, you've gotten your feet of stats and statistics, so I won't bore you anymore with that, but I do recall one incident that always comes to mind when I think back on the Magnum. I had a friend, a gal that I graduated with from high school that went out to Tucson for about 20 years and decided to come back to Sandusky and visit and brought a friend with her. And so I said, well, and he wanted to ride the Magnum. Coming from Tucson, he'd never seen a ride like that before. So I said, sure, and we'll go over. And I got Jack Falfus to get us on the train, the first train out that morning. And of course, he stopped us at the top and did all the things he always does with with a guest. But anyway, we went through the ride, and on the way back, you know how on the return to the station, got that 45 degree bank as you come in, and you're 14 foot off the midway. And my friend and I was in the lead car, and I was leaning over, giving it that, you know, that old gung-ho sign. I had a white shirt and a necktie on it because I was working that morning. And My necktie was over my shoulder and my white shirt was there. Anyway, standing behind my wife Sandra and her friend, or my friend, this old lady said, "Look at that idiot up there with a white shirt and tie." And my wife said, "Yeah, but let me tell you, that idiot is my husband and he designed the ride." So anyway, thank you all for recognize myself. And Dick, thank you. Ryan.
Again, before we wrap things up, just some quick notes. Again, tonight, ERT on Magnum, 10:15 to 11:15. Also, Skyhawk from 10:15 to 11:15 tonight. And then we're going to close it out on Maverick at 11 till midnight. Again, three great rides tonight. Again, thank you so much for coming out. A great Coaster Mania thank you for some legends up here in the amusement industry. Please, on your feet. Thank you guys for coming to Coaster Mania and enjoy the rest of your day.